is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. That's the sound of snowblowers digging out from one of the biggest winter storms in recent memory. Depending on official snowfall totals, the blizzard of 2010 could make it onto the list of the top 10 largest storms ever to hit Boston. At last check, this storm dumped more than 18 inches of snow at Logan Airport and blanketed areas all along the East Coast from Delaware to Maine. The blizzard is moving on, but in its wake, there are stranded travelers, flooded communities, and of course, mountains of snow. We'll get the latest on the storm and the situation with planes, trains, and automobiles in just a minute. Also, we'd like to hear your stories from this blizzard. Are you stranded somewhere? Did you take an unexpected snow day today? Or was all of this a big nothing for you? Give us a call and tell us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. One Massachusetts community that has been hit hard is the South Shore coastal town of Scituate. Residents had to be evacuated from some flooded houses, and the rising tide caused an electrical fire this morning that burned two homes. WBUR's Steve Brown has been in Scituate today, where it's not just the snow battering the town, it's the coastal tides, and Steve is with us on the line. Hi there, Steve.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Okay, well, where are you right now?
Well, right now I'm at the Scituate High School, which is the evacuation center. Nobody's here right at the moment. They did have 22 people come through here throughout the course of the day. They opened up at 2:30 this morning. They had a wave of folks coming through soon after they opened, and then another wave probably around 10 o'clock this morning. People who living in those low-lying areas who found themselves surrounded by water, their homes surrounded by water. Many of them were taken by a National Guard truck that has really big wheels and can get through those big puddles, something that your SUV can't do. As a matter of fact, speaking of SUVs and puddles, I did see one looked like somebody was trying to back out of their driveway and just didn't make it. They had to send a tow truck down to pull it out. The water was up to its doors. So that's been a big problem. As you mentioned, the fires that happened, there were two homes that burned to the ground on 7th Avenue, right down by the water. The problem being with the high winds and everything, a lot of downed lines were happening. And usually what they'll do is they'll call in the electric company, National Grid, to come in and cut the power to those houses because National Grid was so busy this morning, they weren't able to cut the power to that one house down there, and the arcing started the fire, and then the fire spread to a nearby home. Deputy Chief John Murphy was at the scene, and he told me about the challenges that his crews had to face this morning.
You know, it's always a challenge. We had a lot more flooding than we thought we'd get. I think the winds were a lot higher than estimated. So we had, in some areas, we were dealing with 8 to 10 feet of water in streets. So we had did the best we could, a lot of evacuations, a lot of wires down, and now we had the fire this morning, but it's been contained in two houses, fortunately.
Were you able to talk to any residents there, Steve?
I did. As a matter of fact, there was a fellow that was down there who actually grew up in one of the houses that burned down. Now, he did tell me that his family sold that house after the blizzard of 78. I guess that was enough of them back then. And he moved away. He's nearby, but not in that neighborhood. But he grew up in that neighborhood. And his name's Tom Riley, and he said that people who live in that neighborhood are used to big ocean storms.
Yeah, we used to have a tide chart on the wall, and we know when the wind was going northeast and the seas were such a particular point, or the tide was such a point, time to move the cars up the street because we're going to have a problem. Here we are. You make arrangements. You know, you either move in with friends or you go to a motel or whatever the case may be. It's just part of, for want of a better term, the lure of living there, you know, dealing with nature.
And Steve, no one was hurt in these fires, is that correct?
No one was hurt. They were able to get a boat down there, a fire department boat, and evacuate the folks from that house and surrounding houses. Again, they were fearful because the winds down by the ocean, it's windy inland, but when you get down by the ocean, it is almost twice as windy down there. So that was whipping those flames, and obviously the big concern was it spreading to other houses. It only spread to one other house, but they were quite concerned that it could have engulfed the entire neighborhood.
All right, WBUR, Steve Brown, thanks very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Deb.
Also, this storm has stranded thousands of people and thousands of people around the country who are trying to get back into the Boston area. Among them is Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa. He was supposed to take a flight from Chicago to Boston yesterday, but that didn't happen. Hello there, Adam.
Hey, Deb, I'm glad at least you were able to get to the station.
It was a little tricky, but it was okay. Where are you right now?
I'm on the Pike. I'm at the Charlton Service Plaza, so we're making good progress. Basically, what it was is we went to go spend Christmas with my wife's family in Knoxville, Tennessee, and the plan was that, you know, we drove down, and the plan was that I would fly back by myself so that I could get to work. And so I got a flight to Boston by way of Chicago, got up yesterday morning, flew to Chicago, and while I'm in Chicago, you know, they delayed the flight to Boston by an hour, and then 2 hours, and then 4 hours, and then clearly United had a moment where they were just like, okay, who are we kidding with this? This is not going to happen. So they canceled the flight, and then I was told that I wasn't going to be able to fly to Boston until Wednesday, if you can believe it. So I actually just got a flight back to Knoxville. That was a delightful little 9-hour, $250 two-way flight to nowhere, I can tell you. But then we just got in the car, and we've been driving ever since, and things are looking pretty good.
So you've been driving from Tennessee?
Yep.
Roads have been okay?
Roads have been okay. Clearly, there's more snow on the roads as we've been getting closer, as we've been getting further east, mostly because the wind has been blowing snow back onto the roads. But really, it's the wind itself that's been the real challenge. It's some of the most powerful crosswinds that I've ever driven through. It's just tugging the car back and forth. So it's been very, you know, hands at 10 and 2, concentrated driving.
And so we are hearing, at least from Mass Highway at this point, that they have more than 3,700 pieces of equipment out clearing the roadways. They've really done their part on the major highways, and that, from your perspective, looks to be the case. Is that right?
Absolutely. It looks like they're out in force, and with any luck, I'll be back in 45 minutes.
All right. Well, thank you, Adam, and get home safely.
Will do, Deb. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Okay. And the situation at Logan Airport, as we understand right now, is still in flux, if you will. Flights are starting to take off and land at Logan Airport. Operations, though, are not expected to get back to normal until later this week. We did go to visit Logan Airport today, and we spoke with Arena Bauer and her family. They're just some of the many passengers stranded at Logan this afternoon and looking for a way out.
My name is Arena Bauer. I'm from Alaska. I came here to Boston for Christmas vacation, and unfortunately our plane got canceled. I've heard there's only one flight a day to Alaska, but we're trying to get that all taken care of with the customer service here, so it's been a long day for us.
That's Arena Bauer, who is stranded at Logan Airport, along with hundreds of other travelers. Now, Logan did stay open throughout this storm. It's just resuming operations there because of all the tie-ups from airports around the country that will continue to cause problems for travelers. Logan officials say it will likely be Friday before operations are back to normal. The runways, though, are open. They are now snow-free at this point. A total of 18.2 inches of snow was registered at Logan Airport today. And as for trains, Amtrak says passenger service between New York and Boston has been completely restored from the storm. Although some trains are running behind schedule, service between Boston and New York was suspended earlier today, and Amtrak says delays in the New York area are causing the cancellation of some trains between New York and Washington, D.C. So overall, Blizzard of 2010 will be remembered for huge snowfall totals in Boston and along the coast. We do know about 10 inches of snow fell in the Worcester area, 4 to 6 inches on Cape Cod. This storm knocked out power to tens of thousands of people overnight. Thousands of more lost power throughout the day today because of heavy snow on power lines and because of the strong winds. And while the storm is winding down, the cleanup is now what's in high gear. And the snow from this storm is very heavy, so officials are advising leave plenty of time for shoveling. We did talk with Youssef Jacoby, who's a manager at the Newton Corner Dunkin' Donuts today, and he learned the lesson about shoveling the hard way.
I give myself like half hour to dig my car out of the snow. It wasn't enough. I spent like 55 minutes doing it. So I was late for work. Like everybody else, I guess.
And later in the show, we will have some advice from a doctor about how to avoid the ER when shoveling out from this storm. We have to take a short break right now, and when we come back, we'll recall a couple of the best author interviews we've had from 2010. Radio Boston's Sasha Pfeiffer spoke with Dennis Lehane about his new Boston-based book, Moonlight Mile. And we'll hear from the author of a new memoir about his time as a librarian at the Suffolk County House of Corrections. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.